You're probably going to hate us, but we're conservative Christian moms. We're here to empower other Christian moms to speak up, say what's true, and defend their children's future. I'm Nikki River, and I'm the often too emotional mother of two. As always, I'm joined by Candy Rose.
Hey, guys.
And Amy Alexander.
Hello.
Today, we're talking about a question that Amy's four-year-old daughter asked. Does God love Satan? If God is love, she reasoned, then he must love Satan. And we're supposed to love our enemies, so that means God loves Satan, right? We thought this was a perfect topic to start season two, with Halloween just around the corner. So pull up a chair and let's discuss.
Yay. I'm so happy season we're back, two. Guys.
Season two. Okay, really quick. Have you guys turned your heaters on?
Yes. Like once.
I'm jealous. I'm so jealous.
You just keeping it chill in the Honda?
My husband won't let us turn it on. I woke up shaking this morning.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I had to turn it on like a week or two ago.
We've done the fire a couple times.
Ooh.
I dig the fire, but it also puts me to sleep, so I have to be really careful about that. So guys, it has been a while. I am sad to say that we did have tragedy strike our community, and so it took us out of the game for a while, but we are back, and maybe there's a time we'll dig into that, maybe not, but for now, we're just blessed to be here, doing community some more. So welcome to season two.
And we're starting right around the time we started last year, which is right around Halloween. That just happened that way.
It feels like a good time to start back up, for sure.
So children are funny. And they say funny things. I was explaining to someone, you know, four-year-olds, five-year-olds, they know so little, but they're very smart. And so they're at a really hilarious age for nonsense and using phrases and words they don't understand in the wrong way.
I love
and them. So we were on Marco Polo. We all spent a lot of time on Marco Polo. And one of my girls, what happened? She started diving into Satan.
Yeah. She just started being like, sometimes your girls will just chat, and I love it. Like, they just start talking about the most random things. And she was like, I really love Satan, but Mom and Gigi and Papa said, like, I shouldn't love Satan. And she just
But I just really love him, so I'm just going to love him anyway. It was so precious. But we were, like, shocked, but also like, oh, but if a little four-year-old loves Satan, what does this mean?
I thought it was adorable.
Very great. We miss you. Hey, everybody. When I talk about loving Satan, wow. Me and Daddy don't like when you love Satan or Gigi Mama.
So that, like, what's our initial take? Like, when we first thought it, we're like, wait, does God love Satan? What was your preliminary thought?
Ah, that's a good question. I think I was flashing back to when my kids were little and they would have similar conversations, not about Satan specifically, but not understanding who, I guess, to love and who not to love in the realms of, like, bad guys. I'm putting air quotes, bad guys. And because, like Amy said, little kids say funny things and they see things in a very unique way, just the way their little brains can handle it. And my kids were very, very into superheroes. And in the story of superheroes, there's always bad guys. So they went the opposite way. Not like, we need to love everybody, but like, well, God doesn't love the bad guys, right? And I was like, oh gosh, this is a great conversation.
Sure he like, does.
I mean, but it's hard to explain to a four-year-old that who a villain is in a superhero story in real life. Like, we're all human and we're all kind of a villain in a way, like, because we're all sinful, you know, and it's hard to explain that to her.
It really is. I don't like when they were saying that, I was like, I guess God must love Satan. Like, that was my initial thought. I was like, well, if God is love, he can't not love. And he said that all his creation was good. It was very good. And therefore, Lucifer being his creation, he must love him. And that was my initial thought, like, I guess so. But then as we've been, like, I don't know, looking it up and deep diving, I think I've probably landed somewhere more in the middle, especially since we've talked about in the past, like, is Satan actually one being? Like, I know Lucifer is Satan, but we actually understand it to be Satan, like, a lot more demonic influences. So then I was like, wait, I don't know. It just got confusing. So was it like, does God love Lucifer or does, so I don't know.
Yeah.
That, so my initial thought was yes.
I think it definitely sent me down the path of, okay, from God's perspective, this is a creation. This is his creation. And that must be heartbreaking. And if it's heartbreaking to have had Satan, or, you know, we'll talk about the word Satan in a minute, but to have this angel who used to be in charge of worshiping him decide that he was going to rebel, like that must have been heartbreaking. And if it was heartbreaking, he must have loved him. So yeah. I kind of had the same initial thought, Nikki. So it's kind of a fun thing to do a little bit of research on and understand the theology behind. So Nikki, you alluded to this idea that there's maybe Satan's not just one person and there's Lucifer. There's a really good Bible Project video on a broad overview of the Satan, and we'll link that. But just like Christ is actually not a name, it's a title. Christ means the anointed one. So it's actually the Christ Jesus, the anointed one Jesus. So is Satan. Satan is not a name, it's a title, the adversary. So it's actually the Satan, the adversary. And, you know, it's not like it's extensively talked about in the Bible. Mm-hmm. We know some stuff. So what do we know about the adversary? We already said he was created by God. What else?
Yep. We know he rebelled.
Well, it's hard because are we talking about Lucifer then? Is he the adversary? Is that what we're agreeing on?
Mm. Well, I think my understanding, and I would love to hear if you have a different understanding.
No, I don't.
I think
know.
My understanding is, oh, okay. Well, my understanding is like there is Lucifer. There is the adversary who's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And we know that this person or this entity rather is not redeemable. Because we know Revelation, we know what happens in the end. There is this like, there will be an end and it is not good for Lucifer. But also, Bible Project covers this really well, this idea that there's actually like other things alluded to, and the adversary actually does list other stuff, but we understand that there are other, the sons of God also rebelled, and there's other big entities, little g gods, if you will. We've talked about that last season, that are also out here influencing not for good. And so there's times when those, you know, Baal or like, there's another one they mention in Bible Project.
I know what you mean, but I can't think of
it. The Tower of Babel. And there was the, yeah. Anyway, but there's other stuff, right? So I think it's both and, right?
Yeah, I agree.
I think so.
It's this middle thing that we always land on, because I like from everything I was reading, I got definitive yeses or definitive noes. Like people were very polarized on it. Like one guy was like, of course God loves Satan. He can't be opposite of who he is, and he is love. So of course he loves him. But that doesn't mean that he is not redeemable. Satan, Lucifer is not redeemable because he has chosen to embody everything that God cannot love. Mm. So he loves his creation, and I'm sure it devastates him like any of us if somebody decides to walk away from God. But since he's not redeemable and has 100% turned his back on him and set himself up as everything that God is against, he hates that. So it's like a both and? I don't know. That's kind of where my mind changed. I was like, of course he loves him. And I was like, but he can't. I don't know. It's really different. I know it's not pertinent to salvation, but it's so interesting, especially with Halloween coming up. It's just like a very this time appropriate question. And I've really enjoyed like hearing everybody's perspectives on it or reading about it. Like one guy said, like, that's dumb. Like there's no way God could love Satan. He was just like, he's deceit. Cause he's the father of lies. He's like the, you know, Satan is called all the things that God is against. But another guy said he created him, and God said in Genesis that all of his creation was very good. So I don't know. It's strange to me.
So I'm just remembering, and I've forgive me if this is a bit of a rabbit trail. I read this book years ago, and I wish I could remember what it was called. It was called like The Devil or Demon or Satan or something. And I got it from the Christian bookstore. It is fiction, but it was a really, really unique perspective. It was this demon that was pretty much walking side by side with this man and just kind of explaining his point of view, I guess. And again, this is fiction, but he was saying that the demon was saying like how much that the Satan and the demons hate humanity because we are redeemable, because it is God's heart that we should like none perish. But I don't know why it's different for the Elohim, the spiritual beings. Like they said no, and they're forever removed from him. Does that make sense?
Yes. Actually, that makes me remember the point I was trying to make when you said, we're supposed to love our enemies, mm-hmm. but our enemies, when God's talking about that, are human mm-hmm. enemies. And God calls us to love those, but angels, Elohim, are not humans. And therefore we're not called to love angels or put them up any higher or worship or anything. Mm-hmm. So when they fell, we are not required to love them. And that was one of the points I found online. And I was just like, okay, I guess we don't have to love them. It's just like,
will not and do not love them. I do think God probably does, because like everything you guys are saying, God is love and he created these beings. And yeah, I'm sure it does, like a piece of him has to be broken and sad, because being like just the little bit we know about love, like as spouses, as parents, you guys know how great that love is, and his is even more. So something he mm-hmm. created has turned away forever. That's got to be hard. But yeah, there must still be love. Like, I don't know.
Well, we're created in God's image. So I think that is always this huge differentiator. I mean, it's part of why we're redeemable is because we're made in his image, and he was able to send his son to die on our behalf and cover us so that when God sees us, he actually sees us through a veil of the perfection of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think I totally understand the theology behind, we've talked about this before a little bit, the theology behind whether or not his other Elohim have free will, or how much free will they have, or, I mean, we know they must have some because they can go be destructive and stuff. But I do think there's something specific about, you know, when you create things, like even as people, when we create, like us creating pottery is different than us creating a human. Not that we create that, but like even our children, those are totally different things. And I think that if something was hurting the thing that was made in our image, we'd have, while that might be hard, it also would advocate so much more for the thing that was created in our image. Am I making any sense?
Yeah. No, that's a really good perspective. I had not thought of it that way.
Satan. So God,
there's just so much we don't know, you know.
I know. I was looking it up, it said, and I'll put it in the show notes, but it says, this was so interesting to me. Okay. It said, biblical interpreters suggest that the prophet Isaiah is describing Satan inspiring and empowering the king of Babylon, you know. Also spoke about creation in the fall of angelic being named the day star, the son of the dawn. So he's saying that Satan is the one that made the king of Babylon wicked. And so if Isaiah's description of the king of Babylon's heart attitude was a recapitulation.
You got it.
Say it right. All right. Was the recapitulation of what went on in Lucifer's angelic heart. This beautiful angel sinned against God and was cast out of God's presence. The result, Lucifer in pride became Satan, the deceiver, along with the host of angels that fell with him, and becoming demons. And I just thought that really helped me to understand. They're basically saying that the king of Babylon, it's like a symbolism for what happened to Lucifer. But I'm guessing the king of Babylon was probably redeemable. I don't know. I'm still like mind blown by this. And I think God does love Satan, actually. Oh, I feel like Mallory. Was it Morgan?
I don't know. I feel like maybe that initially was Mallory, but then Morgan came back another time and was telling me about, you know, I don't care what you guys say. I decided that I love Satan and God loves Satan because God is love. And, you know, she had all this like, it's like, okay. But I think it's almost that like real cheesy Christian answer, which is like, love the sinner, hate the sin. You know, I'm sure that whatever perfect part of God is love, perfectly loves Satan just the perfect way that he should, while also absolutely denying the evil that Satan has become, right? Because God doesn't love or hate the way we do. So for me, that's like where I've sat on it, at least at this moment in my life.
That's good.
So eloquently said.
I know, Amy's always the best.
That was like, you summed it up in a nutshell. Okay, but then this segued me into like, wait a second, is he actually going to throw him into the lake of fire? Because we have a friend, Laura, who's been on the podcast before, who, when we know Revelation is a dream, and it is, I don't know. So
hard to interpret.
Hard to interpret, yeah. So is it a literal lake of fire? Is it that the beast just gets destroyed forever, and then everyone's just, who didn't come to know Jesus, is absent from the Father forever, or cast into eternal suffering? We're turning this into a hell episode. But this led me down to that trail afterwards. Like, okay, what do you guys, I don't know, anything spark from that?
I think Revelation is hard, but right now you guys, I think all of us are reading through the Bible recap. And so the Bible recap right now, we're all in the Gospels. So we're reading a lot of what Jesus's actual words were. And he does talk a lot about eternal judgment. And I don't know what that means, but he talks about hell. He talks about eternal judgment. Just like there's a lot about the spiritual world we can't understand. I don't know what eternal judgment looks like. I don't know what it's going to feel like. But I do think that that is a thing that, yes, Satan will definitely be a part of, because he's the adversary.
You know what else Jesus says a lot? Or not says a lot, but it's been striking me how many conversations he has with demons, where the demons are like, have mercy on us.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And I think that's also so interesting.
Yeah.
And I think maybe why it took you there, Nikki, is that this is more a conversation about God's love and how God's love works than it is about whether or not Satan is worthy of being loved or whatever. Like, it's a conversation of how does that work? And so therefore, what does that mean for eternity? What does that mean for those who are never saved? What does that mean? How does God fully integrate justice and love? And I don't know. For me, that's where it goes. And so it makes sense to me that you went to this place of like, what does that mean about hell exactly?
Yeah. And then I'm going to turn it back to the kids. Like, okay, so let's say, like Amy said, God does love Satan in a only perfect way he can. But I don't think that means any of us should love Satan. So how do you explain that to 4-year-olds? God probably does love Satan, but we really shouldn't.
Oh, I didn't even think about that part.
And they're 4. It's a hard conversation to have with 4-year-olds. I have teenagers, and I would still not like to talk to them about it, really.
I wonder if it's not even... I'm trying to think about what I'm trying to say. It's just like a kid's little ramblings. And I think you guys did tell them, hey, we can't love Satan, I think, right?
Well, yes and no, right? It was one of those, you know, when your kid is like, this is what I believe. And you're like, no, you can't believe that. And they're just going to go in harder on it because you said that. It was one of those kinds of conversations where I knew nothing I said was fruitful. And it really made me think of, actually, Tim Mackey, who is like one of the guys at the Bible Project, which that's a whole other conversation, because some of his theology, like, I don't know where I sit on some of the things he believes, but he decided with his children that he was only going to read the Gospels, or not the Gospels, only the New Testament up until, I don't know, 9 or 10, because he felt like if his kids had a really solid foundational understanding of Jesus, God expressed through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it would help them to better contextualize all of the violence and killing in the Old Testament, as opposed to starting where a lot of us start, which is like superhero stories in the Old Testament. There's all this murder, and you're like, wait, beginning. What? But God's love. And then, yeah. And so I think where I landed as far as like teaching my children about this is they are just 4 and they don't really understand what they're saying.
No.
But the heart of what they're saying is God is love. and God loves us all, and God is, you know? And I'm like, if that's the heart, if that's what they're learning right now, I'm not going to argue about it, because they'll figure out the Satan stuff when they're older. But for now, they can at least understand the bigness and the grandness and the deepness, right, of God's love. Mm. And that felt more important.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's sweet that they're actually listening to what you say. I think that it shows that they're like, we love everybody. I don't know. I think it's really sweet. And I just want to be more like them.
Yeah, I wish I could be four for sure.
Let's be four again.
So easy. Well, actually, part of the conversation came, Candace, like what you were talking about with villains, and, you know, we're nerdy in our house too. And so my girls do, they love Harley Quinn, and they love, you know, they have superheroes and villains that they love. Like the broader concept kind of came about. Like, does God love these villains? Well, yes. But he doesn't love what they're doing, but he wants them to find, you know. So it is like this really weird, it's a weird concept. I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about when you said that God had mercy on the demons. Mm-hmm. And that's just been stuck in my mind. Like, you're right. They were like, please don't let us do this. Send us into the pigs. And he did it. And I don't know. Even in today's Bible reading, I'm often struck by, I don't know, him listening to them. I don't know if this ties together, but try to go with me. Him giving mercy to them. And then today in the Bible recap, if you're following along with that, it was talking about the lady that asked for Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter.
The Gentile woman, yeah.
Yeah, and it's in two different accounts. And in one account, she said, even dogs eat from the master's scraps. But then in the other account, it said, even children drop scraps. I was just picking up on all the nuances, but ultimately I was shocked that he said no. I mean, he was like, this isn't for you. Mm-hmm. And I was like offended for a second. And all this to say that what you were saying earlier, Amy, like, we just don't understand God's ways. So it probably stands to reason that he probably does love Satan in some sort of way, but he can't, because I don't understand why he would say what he said today. You know, saying he did it, he cast out the demon because of her faith. But I remember reading it today, like, why would you tell her to no? It almost felt like he was saying, get away. Like, this isn't for you. And the podcast wasn't up yet, so I don't know what TLC's, what she's going to, I'm like so curious to see what she's going to say.
I thought it was me.
No, I've restarted it. I refreshed
it.
Yeah,
it won't come up on mine
either. I was so curious, but somehow that ties, I don't know how in my mind this is tying back to what you said, Amy, but that I don't understand what Jesus was doing there in that moment and what his heart for his creation is. And even like having to live in this duality of like, God is love, but he hates these things. Like, how can a being of love hate these things? Or how can a God of love send a creation that he loves to judgment? You know, just like all these thoughts and questions. And I don't know.
Well, we have a really weird, warped idea of love. Like, we live in a culture that says love is having 100% grace all the time for all the things, and forgiving everything all the time, and accepting everything all the time. But when we remember that God is love, then we remember that there's lots of things that actually aren't loving that the world says are loving. Right? Mm. Like, you know, if your child decides that they're going to grab scissors, this is terrible. Scissors start cutting themselves. Like, you're not like, I just love you anyway. You're like, stop doing that. That's bad for you. It would be crazy town to say that somehow it's loving to let your child hurt themselves. So I think that's part of this discussion, is like having a renewed idea of what is love. Mm-hmm. And well, the Bible says love is defined by who Jesus is and and how God acts even throughout the entire Bible. So that's where we have to like come back and set our standard, which I struggle with. I
struggle not so much with the story that you were talking about, Nikki, because I think Jesus makes it kind of clear throughout the New Testament when he's on earth. He kind of says several times he came for like God's people, which were the Israelites. And then later he says, you know, go out into all the world. So I just think that was part of God's plan. And that's what he kind of says to her, like, God sent me here for his children. And she's like, yes, but I'm begging. And he's like, okay. But I do struggle. I mean, I hate to say struggle. There's just a lot we can't understand. But knowing that God is love and he's perfect and he's good, there are a lot of stories in the Old Testament, I think, that there's a lot of judgment, you know, and people do struggle with connecting the New Testament God and the Old Testament God, but they are the same God. So there's just so much we don't understand. There just is. Like, he killed a lot of people. He told his people to kill a lot of people. Like, there's just a lot of killing and a lot of judgment.
Yeah. That reminds me of, I don't know, I was at a worship thing and somebody was reading in the Minor Prophets and they were giving some sort of encouragement. And they said they're reading the Minor Prophets and they're seeing how God's often allowing calamity to happen to Israel to bring her back. Mm-hmm. And then she made like the correlation of what's happening to Israel now. And I was like so triggered. I was like, oh my gosh. But I was like, but wait, is God still giving opportunity for his people to come back? And I don't know if this, we're totally segueing off the Satan thing, but I was reading, like, I don't know if this is the correct word, but it's like dispensationalist, that like Old Testament is for the, and I'm probably saying this wrong, we should probably do a podcast on dispensationalism, but that the Old Testament still applies to the Jews, you know, like they're still God's people and those laws are still his until he accepts them. I'm probably totally saying this all wrong. We probably should do another episode on it. And well,
dispensationalism is the idea that maybe there's more than, I don't know, but my understanding of at least some of what they believe is just that
you're way smarter than me. Fix it.
Spiritual. Well, no, there's just no spiritual. They believe there's no spiritual Holy Spirit, like, gifts now. It was only for a short time with the new church, and that was it, which I don't believe that, because how sad would that be
if we're know.
Like, not, can't heal, can't cast out demons, can't all the things. That's contrary to the Bible, in my opinion. So, but I'd be interested to know if they believe that too, like if there's deeper theology. That's interesting.
Yeah. Or I was reading an article about it and I might just totally have understood it wrong, because sometimes that can happen. I'm like, you can read something a little bit backwards.
Well, that
you know
doesn't
what I
make
mean?
Sense to me either. I mean, God came to fulfill the law. No, he didn't abolish it, but he did fulfill it for everyone. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's interesting.
Or it might be more that there's a distinction between us and Israel. That's what it is. Dispensational. Like that Israel is their own thing and the church is our own thing. But I think we definitely need to do a podcast on it because I want to understand it more. I need to research it more. And I don't know where I was going with that. I'm sorry, guys. Little sleep and lots of coffee.
Well, I think you were talking about Israel and the suffering, and I wouldn't personally
put
minor prophet prophecies on what's happening now, because that feels like a huge stretch. But at the same time, I mean, historically speaking, like, Israel has always been the center of suffering and, you know, they are still God's people, right? Like they're still God's people. So, and they are different. I mean, I do believe that, like, they are still, while we get to be grafted in, praise God, they are still the chosen people. That's a story that has always been, will always be true. So the theology behind what's true for them that's not true for us, or is there anything that's true for them that's not true for us, is very interesting. We should totally dive into that.
Yeah. It might not be dispensationalism. I might have the wrong word for what I was reading about, if that makes sense. But I was reading some theology about how, like, the Old Testament, like, stayed true for the Old Testament, like, for them until the, I don't know. It might even be.
Okay, here's what I do know. But now, like, we really need to do a thing on this. What I do know is that their covenant, his promise on for them and his covenant with them remained. It doesn't mean, I don't think, that they have to follow Old Testament law or anything like that, but just that his covenant with them, Abrahamic covenant, that remains. Like that, it's not like it was like gone. Like they are his chosen people. That remains. They're parallel. The two covenants, ours and theirs.
That.
Yeah.
So again, maybe that's what it was. Better. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. You said it again. Way better. I'm a wedding photographer. For people listening, and I've been up like every night editing, and so I think my brain's just not. You know, the wires are doing like this. All the ideas,
but Nikki,
are in
you're
there,
very
prophetic,
not cutting
out.
So you always have really important, great things to say. I don't.
Yeah, you're so sweet. Yourself.
And I think that's it smart. All ties in because, again, yeah, we're talking about God's love, and his love is deep and wide and high and far. And it's so much bigger than we can understand. So there's a lot to talk about and question.
Yeah. And I think yesterday, Candy and I, we were talking about yesterday's Bible recap about what her takeaway was that all you have to do is believe, right?
Jesus and says, just believe.
Yeah, just believe. But I loved what Tara Lee said about that, was that it was just to commit to trust. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, even the demons believe. So that feels like, wait, how is God saying something opposite to what he means? But it's not belief. Just don't, you don't just believe and then you're saved. Everybody, a lot of people believe, Jesus existed. Yeah. But it's an active committing to trust. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where Satan obviously got it wrong. He's the day star. He was the most beautiful angel. And instead of just trusting that that was good, committing to trust, he rejected God. And
Well, we can't even comprehend. I always think about this. Like I eagerly wait to be with him. We cannot comprehend what that will look like. And like Lucifer, from what we understand, was there. He was in the full majesty of God's awesome splendor, and he was like, I don't want, like, I can do better, or I don't want this, or whatever, like,
or he wanted the glory
in whatever way he rejected God. I think in our humanness we can't even fathom that. Even people who deny there is a God and don't accept Jesus, if he were to be here in front of us right now in all his splendor, like, every knee would bow, you know, like, we would have to. But Satan's already seen it. He's already been there. He's there, you know, like, because in the spirit realm it's just different. Does that make sense?
It does. And I love that you said that, because I think one of my fears that I need to learn how to commit to trust the Lord in is that, and I think I've told you guys this before, not on the podcast, but just like conversationally, is like, okay, we die and get to heaven, or heaven comes, whatever way it happens, we don't understand the timing or whatever, when we're in heaven.
Yep.
What stops us from doing what Lucifer did? Like you said, you're confronted with all of God's perfected glory, and it's just impossible. We're all going to fall. We're all going to bow down. We're all going to worship, and it's going to be perfect. No more pain, no more suffering. Yeah. But in my flesh, I'm like, well, I struggle sometimes to get through 15 minutes of reading my Bible.
But your flesh will be gone.
That's so good. Thank you, Candy. So that's like, it just kind of makes you wonder, like, if, But you, like you said, Lucifer or Satan or all of the fallen, they didn't have, I'm guessing they didn't have free will, but enough so that they could reject him, because I don't know. Or maybe since we're made in his image, we are going back to ourselves fully. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I think that is a key. I really think the way that we experience our relationship with God is unique, period. And so it's not a one-to-one comparison with how were other heavenly rulers or whatever experiencing that relationship with God, and how does that work? Like, I don't know.
I agree. The more, I always say this, the more I learn, like, the deeper I dive with the Bible, and then, listening to the Bible Project or the Bible Recap, you know, the more we learn, the more, at least for me, I understand there's just so much we don't understand.
It's like the more you know, the less you know. I literally feel like that.
Yeah.
I'm always like, there's 5,000 more questions now. Like, even now I have like 10 more things, but they're like 10 other podcast topics.
Write them down, Nikki.
Okay. I know. I'm so scattered today, but I love it. It's just like real. It's nice to have people that you can like ask what about this? And you don't have condemnation for it. Like, I feel like sometimes in different Christian circles, you could be like, I'm worried that when I get to heaven, it won't be enough, because sometimes on this side, it doesn't feel enough. And like, you know, like, does my desire for sin go away? Is my flesh what's tied to my desire to sin? Or is it my soul or my spirit? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, what's going to stop me from sinning there? Not, yes, God's perfected glory, but if Lucifer did it.
Yeah. But I mean, just theologically speaking, your spirit is new and perfect. It's your mind that needs to be renewed, right?
Please,
it's the flesh.
Jesus.
Yeah. We're all like, let's just
do
go
it now, Lord. Come now.
That would be great.
Yeah. He's where the joy is. We're stealing her line, but it's true.
I do agree. Yeah. I know she sometimes irritates us, but she does drop really great knowledge. And I mean, he is where the joy is. I do agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I have to land on this, even with like the Jesus, like the Satan stuff. I think the Satan stuff brought up a lot of questions for me, less on the if God loves him, but more on like if somebody can be in perfected glory and we're going to be in perfected glory. I don't know. Is that a weird question? Am I like, is that a, thank you for not like meeting that with condemnation, and be gentle with me, people listening. But it's just a genuine question. Like, and I feel like some people probably think like that we're going to be singing holy, holy, holy forever and be like, that does not sound fun.
Like, we won't be doing that. I mean, we're going to have, I think we're going to be working, and we're going to have jobs and purpose and community.
I think so.
All those things.
I have literally no idea. I just know.
It's not here.
It's good. Yeah. And I trust him. So I don't know anything else, but I don't think, yeah, like in our mind, Nikki, I totally understand your question. I've had those questions before. Like, am I going to get bored? Am I going to enjoy but like
when I was a kid, I was for sure that heaven was boring.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. But no, I think it just comes down to trust. We know that God is good, and whatever the end is, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be so much more than we could think or ask. Or comprehend.
Yeah. So I guess in a nutshell, God probably loves Satan, but not in a way that we can understand or comprehend. And he can't, but still can't be tied to all the things that he represents. Or if you think not, that's okay too.
It's hard. Sometimes I have to say it out loud every day. Like, I trust you. I do trust you.
You've been teaching me a lot about that in this season, running towards Amen. Jesus. Yeah. So thanks for that, friend. Now that I brought up another 20 podcast.
You think God definitely hates Satan, then, you know.
Tell us why in the comments.
You're going to hate us, but...
You're going to love us.